This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. It's always nice for listeners to understand a bit about someone's career history. So tell us a bit about what you've done before.
Okay, well, I started off as a mathematics teacher and up in the northeast of England. I did enjoy teaching, but felt it wasn't for me long term. So I ended up in the IT industry, started out as a programmer and worked my way up to managing projects in corporate. And then after a number of years, I actually then became a contractor and contracted back to big companies. So that was my first sort of business, really, contracting back to big corporates running projects. Then I met my now husband when I was, you know, quite late on in my years, and decided that we really wanted a family, and we ended up immigrating to Canada when I was 7 months pregnant with my first child. So I was 43 and 45 when I had my boys, and they were both born in Canada. So we all have dual citizenship with Canadian and British passports. And we ended up coming back. Well, I did run a little business out there as well when my children were little, just party cones. And then they wouldn't accept my teaching qualifications in Canada, but that's even into province, they don't do that. So I became a teaching assistant there. And that fitted around my children when they were at school as well, because I did that on a substitute basis. We moved back to the UK to take care of a close relative, actually my mother-in-law, when my children were 9 and 7. So then I became sort of her carer for a while. And then after that, I was absolutely exhausted after she died and had sort of health diagnoses. And so did my son, severe celiac, my oldest. And we started going down the alternative route because we weren't, didn't seem to be getting anywhere with traditional medicine. And that's what basically led me into being a holistic therapist. And practitioner, and now on to training. So that's very brief summary of my employment history.
Yeah, so looking at your website, Chris, I know that you offer EFT and Reiki. So for the listeners that don't understand what emotional freedom technique is, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so basically, a very basic level, you tap on various parts of your body, and that relaxes, sends messages to your brain, just relaxes you and reduces pain, anxiety, stress, emotional upset as well, intense feelings, really. It has been referred to as acupuncture without the needles, because it's using those meridian points. If your listeners know what acupuncture is, not everybody does, but what you need to know is it just helps reduce all that stress, anxiety, as I say. Those, since I've trained in emotional freedom technique myself, I haven't used a painkiller. I tap for headaches or any pain I have in my body.
And people feel or believe that it's the memory of something that makes us feel bad, but it's not that, is it, Chris? It's the emotion that's attached to that memory. And once you can release that emotion, then it kind of, the energy flows, doesn't it?
So I also think the really great thing about EFT is that you don't, if you went through a bad experience that has caused you to have a limiting belief or brings up an emotion, things that trigger you, you don't relive that trauma. It's specifically about the emotion, whereas a lot of therapies actually want you to relive that. And you never do with EFT, because it's, as you say, Yvonne, it's all about the emotions, and it's releasing the energy around that. Then will, you know, and it's the thing I love about it is it's like a permanent solution. It's not just dealing with the symptoms and, oh, just do this to overcome your social anxiety or, you know, do this for that particular pain. It's something that I actually saw a demonstration on one training course where a lady, and I know she still doesn't have problems, had back problems for years, and she was the subject of a demo, and she hasn't had back pain since because she released the emotions around that.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, actually. It really is.
Yeah.
And so to make sure, obviously, we cover this, tell us about some of the services that you provide, Chris.
Okay, so as a therapist, I specialise in helping parents and carers where their children are exhibiting challenging behaviours, and that's usually brought on by stress or anxiety from some external event in their lives. But obviously the parents are also stressed and anxious about their child, and I sort of think it's really important, because when my children were little I didn't have these tools, but I think it's really important to get the tools out there for people to use on a personal level so that they can help themselves and their family with their own self-care. It's not about locking people into therapy for years and years, it's actually to provide them with those tools. So I have a family-centred approach where I tend to work initially with the parents and give them the tools. But if we feel it's beneficial, then I will work with their children as well, which a lot of therapists won't do. They're not always happy to work with children.
So what could that meeting include? What might take place during that?
Okay, what, with the parent?
Yes, initially.
Well, it's just really everything that's going on for them, because it's a holistic look. So it's anything that could be stressing their child and what's stressing them, because often when you release the energies around what's stressing the parents, things do improve with the child. But then they also have those, you know, EFT and some other techniques such as breathing, mindfulness I use as well, which helps them to help the child, basically, because I always felt very helpless because I didn't have those, you know, those tools at my fingertips when my children were going through certain things. And it is about the whole family. It affects the whole family when the child's stressed out or anxious.
And obviously, as you mentioned as well, sometimes if you work with the child and not the parent, the child's then going back into that environment that is not a good for them.
The parent's still stressed about.
Exactly, yeah. So that you kind of, it's like a loop, isn't it? You never solve the problem. But if you work with the parents first, as you say, then you can work with the child afterwards.
So I know that's that, sort of...
Sorry, Chris.
Sorry. As a therapist. So then as a healer, so you know, can help people. I can't do that for you. You know, it's about your wellness, your journey, but I can help you again to release energies around things and give you techniques to help you on your wellness journey. And just putting little things in place that can make a big difference, like a little morning routine. Everyone should have a sleep routine, not just children, you know, those sorts of things that a small change can make a huge difference. But it's really getting people back into balance.
That leads me nicely into your blog post, actually, Chris, because you mentioned on that tips for well-being, and one of the things that you do say is expressing gratitude, and I so agree with you that, because I think sometimes when things are really tough, we see all the negatives around us and we forget to sort of recognize that there's some good stuff going on as well.
And actually I was just I don't know if you know, it's the Dalai Lama's 87th birthday today, the 6th of July, the 14th Dalai Lama, and one of the things he says is, you know, there's always a good aspect to any situation. So it's really a case of looking at what you can learn about yourself, or what you shouldn't have said yes to, or, you know, whatever that is, you know, your boundaries, whatever it might be, because that's how we learn. But it's no good just repeating the same thing.
Yeah.
It's about not just, it's hard when bad things happen or situations don't turn out how you would like. But there's always something positive to be gained from it, I feel.
Sure. And in addition to the gratitude as being one of the tips for well-being, tell us some of the others, Chris.
So about taking care of yourself, it's really important to take care of yourself, because so many women, particularly so many mothers and women, put themselves at the bottom of that list. They're caring for everybody else, but you actually really need to take time, even if it's 10 minutes a day, to have a quiet cup of tea, have a glass of water. But, you know, ideally find the things that work for you as well, because there's often, you know, people say, oh, you should meditate. Well, that really might not be for you. That mindfulness might be more for you, just being in the moment, or, you know, just looking at some old holiday photos that you sort of think, oh, it's lovely there. Your brain doesn't know the difference between what you're actually experiencing and what you're looking at. But it's just making that time for you. It doesn't have to be, you know, again, exercise is really good for your, you know, well-being. So exercise is, you know, it doesn't have to be going for a jog. It could be dancing around the kitchen to your favourite tunes. It's about finding the things that work for you and that make you feel good.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's loads, Chris, but tell us about a success story that resonates with you.
Okay, so going back to working with children and their families. So I was privileged to work with this family, I feel. So it's a lady I knew, and she was very sceptical to begin with, that I could help her family. And her son had been diagnosed with ADHD. His behaviour at school, he couldn't sit down, and, you know, the traditional school thing where you're supposed to sit down and do your lessons. I mean, I don't particularly think that's good for lots of children, but for him, it was just impossible. His dad was sleeping in with him every night because he just couldn't sleep. His sister was suffering because she wasn't getting the attention. Any of the people who cared for him, like his grandparents, were having a bit of a tough time because he was a real live wire. And so I worked with the mother particularly, and the father to some extent, but it's often the mother that's there a lot of the time and ends up doing a lot of those things. And I worked with the child, and from the very first time I went there, I did a little bit of work with the child and gave him a CD of a tapping, so an EFT type thing he could do at PED. It was a tapping story, but he didn't have to do it, but it was a story. And I showed him how to massage his own feet with some sesame oil, which is great for sleeping, obviously, if you haven't got allergies to seeds of any sort. It's a natural way of getting to sleep, and he loved doing that. It was something he could do for himself, as well as his mum could do it some evenings as well. And he slept through from the first night that we started that. And as the months went on, it did take a while because nothing's a magic bullet, and there were quite a few different issues. But eventually his parents and couldn't believe the difference in him. And his teachers thought that he was on strong medication. And in fact, you know, that wasn't the case. And even the special needs teacher at the school wanted me to write and just let them know what I'd done. And he actually, they only have one space to get extra help for an educational psychologist. He'd fallen so far behind, but he'd improved so much. They got that space with the educational psychologist and their help to help him catch up, because he was no longer disruptive to his classmates. His teachers, his grandparents found him a delight to look after rather than a bit of a trial. So it's just that whole ripple effect of helping one person.
Wouldn't it be great if in schools in this country they taught things like mindfulness, like tapping, just the things that don't that aren't invasive that kids can do and that younger kids would embrace? Because by the time they get to secondary school, it's more harder to sort of
And actually, it's like the organisation that I have trained under to do training, the EFT and Mindfulness Centre. We are trying to get that into schools at the moment. And it's, you know, it's a case of having the money, schools having the money or the resources or being able to release the teachers to do it.
Yeah.
But it's just such an amazing thing. I was actually involved in a project quite a long time ago now. I can't even think. It was way before lockdown. And a whole group of us went into a primary school and taught them for 2 days, tapping, a little bit about aromatherapy. They did yoga, they did mindfulness, they did some deep breathing, meditations, you know, designed for children. And it was really amazing that the head even considered that.
Yeah.
But she had like 2 wellness days. But I think it would be wonderful if, well, everybody actually, you know, that's why I think it's important. So when I train people, I do emphasize, like for Reiki 1 and Reiki and EFT 1, you know, they're for personal use. You don't have to go on to be a practitioner. You might carry on and do a second course if it, you know, sparks your interest or you want to get deeper into other things. But for everyday emotions, for helping your children, they're amazing modalities,
amazing tools. Well, sadly, Chris, we've run out of time. It's gone really quickly. If you could offer the listeners one piece of advice, what would that be?
I would say make time for yourself and find something that you enjoy doing that is just for you. It's not going to the park with the kids. It's actually, you know, and try to do that for 10 minutes a day, but maybe try to schedule in something a bit bigger once a week or once a month.
Brilliant. And if listeners would like to find out more, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, which is Christine Michelle with one L Murray.com. Or I do have a Facebook page, Complementary Therapies with Christine Michelle Murray. And from there, I have actually separate groups as well. One to show you how to reduce your anxiety in lots of different ways, the Holistic Wellbeing Group of Sanctuary, and Discovering EFT and Discover Reiki. So if you want to find that anymore, you can find it there.
Thank you so much, Chris. That was Christine Murray from christinemichellemurray.com with some really useful advice.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.